You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to tonight's live show, everybody. It's Saturday evening, June 14th, Father's Day. Tomorrow, happy early Father's Day to all of the fathers in the audience tonight in Tennessee and around the world. I would say in Memphis, except I'm not even there tonight where our flagship studio is. I'm up here on a little family weekend getaway, an unexpected family weekend getaway, one that I didn't even know I was going to be having until Thursday when my own father surprised me with some tickets, and we're going to enjoy a concert together tomorrow night up here in Nashville. My wife's brother lives up here, so we came in a night early to visit with them and his daughter and his wife. It's a family affair here in the Edwards. Family comes first. That's the way it should be. But you are part of my extended family, ladies and gentlemen. And it doesn't matter if I'm on a family vacation that's been planned for a long time, as was the case last month, or if I'm here for a quick weekend getaway with my nuclear family, my close blood family. I always try, if there's any way possible, to take the time to be with you during our scheduled appointment every Saturday evening from 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time. I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, I raced home for my daughter's first ballet recital. I didn't put them second. They will never come second. But you're right there, folks, not far behind. And it's always nice when everyone can be accommodated. And I do love my time with you. In fact, I had some special time with you last week. I believe it was the second hour of last week's show, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was the third hour. I guess it was the third hour of last week's show, yes, because I had a guest on during the second hour, but had a whole hour solo, just talk with you. And I used to do that a lot back when we were broadcasting 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, before we got syndicated in 2008, 2009, and went to a once-a-week show. Now it's a lot easier to fill just 3 hours a week as opposed to 10 or 15. And so we always have guests or co-hosts on. The co-hosts, certainly. I mean, my God, Keith Alexander. I mean, what would this show be without him? And Eddie Miller, for that matter. They certainly add depth to the broadcast, and I'm grateful to have them. The show wouldn't be nearly as good without Keith and Eddie. But it is fun, on rare occasion, to have some one-on-one time with you, and I'm going to have that with you right now. And I was talking about the whole Harvey Milk stamp situation there when Keith and I were comparing the way heroes, and not just heroes, but men and women, who were heroes and heroines, respectively, in movies like Tammy, the way they were depicted compared to what passes for heroes and heroines now. Harvey Milk gets the stamp. This is the official statement, honored with a commemorative stamp at the post office. Let me tell you what, if they tried to push that on me, if the clerk tried to push that on me, I would return it. There was no way I would take home a Harvey Milk stamp. You know, don't accept perversion. Don't accept that. The U.S. Postal Service dedicated a stamp to Harvey Milk, one of the nation's first openly. They call him gay again, and we talked about this, folks. Don't play their game with that either. Gay means happy, and there's nothing happy about being homosexual, okay? There's nothing healthy about it. Don't let them control our discourse. These are our words. Gay means happy. He's a homosexual. That's the textbook definition. Anyway, he gets his own stamp because he was a homosexual. This was unveiled, by the way, at a White House ceremony. Well, of course it was. The stamp reflects on a longstanding commitment to civil rights, said Deputy Postmaster General Ronald Storman. Harvey Milk joins other civil rights pioneers who have been honored with stamps, including Martin Luther King Jr. and Cesar Chavez. Well, the civil right for what? Harvey Milk has the civil right to be afflicted with a mental illness? Because, folks, that's exactly what homosexuality is. There's nothing courageous about it, and it's certainly not a condition that's to be celebrated. And let me be very clear, because I think as a Christian, it's very important that even when we oppose something with righteous indignation, that we don't come across as mean-spirited. I don't hate Harvey Milk. I mean, I know he's dead, but, you know, I wouldn't hate him if he was still alive. I don't hate homosexuality. But at the same time, I'm not going to coddle up to it and act as though it's okay. It's not okay. I want everyone to live well and prosper. I want everybody to be happy. But I don't want immorality forced upon my family and my society. This new state religion of political correctness presents side of me as part of this new morality. And this is echoed by the lapdogs of the establishment media, which is we were talking about during the first hour. It's changed so much over the course of just the last 50, 60, 70 years. And homosexuality is pushed so much by the media now that otherwise normal people will even go so far as to pretend to accept such perversion because it makes them feel morally superior to do so. You have a feeling of moral superiority if you are echoing what you see presented as so governable and good on television and in movies. But let's not kid ourselves, folks, and let us never fall into that trap. Homosexuality is in violation of God's law, and it's also in violation of the law of nature. Now, I oppose homosexuality from a Christian viewpoint, from a Christian point of view. But let's just say you are an atheist. You believe there is no God. The teachings of Christ don't affect you in one way or the other. Homosexuality is still obviously in error. It's a biological dead end. If you subscribe to nothing more than evolution, that we all came from this hodgepodge of mystery substance, evolution itself would not have created a species that could not reproduce. Obviously, there is something defective with that. Nature would not have created something that cannot reproduce. And if all of humanity embraced homosexuality, we would be pinched off at this generation. So obviously it's in violation of God's law, which is my law, also the law of nature. Any way you want to slice it, it's abhorrent, it's unhealthy, and it should be discouraged. But any other reaction, as I talked about before, is even considered shows how far mankind has fallen. And again, I come at this from a biblical perspective. Woe unto them who call good evil and evil good, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That comes from the book of Isaiah. But in the Old and New Testaments alike, homosexuality is forbidden in the most harshest of terms, in Leviticus, in Romans. By Christ and otherwise, it's, look, you shouldn't get a stone for being a homosexual. And I don't know what civil right Harvey Milk was so committed to advancing, because there's been homosexuals as long as there have been men, and it's always been wrong. But, you know, I'm just wondering. Homosexuals can have civil rights advocates. Blacks can have it with King, Cesar Chavez, or mestizos. Do whites get to have anybody? You know, are you a civil rights advocate if you defend the interests of European Americans? If you say, you know what, it's okay to be who we are, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. Yes, we should treat everyone with respect. That doesn't mean we have to embrace certain elements of certain cultures that are, you know, run contrary to our values. Be kind to everyone, but don't tolerate evil. You know, it is not wrong to be intolerant of evil. And again, treat everybody decently. You know, we live in modern-day America. You're going to see minorities. You're going to see homosexuals. Be kind to them. You don't have to get in their face and shout and, you know, try to go out of your way to offend them. But, you know, at the same time, you don't have to accept it either. And you shouldn't. We'll be back right after.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And I was just thinking during the break, and a comment was left by one of our readers at thepoliticalcesspool.org that really shows you how morally bankrupt the advocates for this particular support group of the regime, homosexuals, are. When arguing to break down traditional institutions like God-ordained marriage, attorneys will position that the 10th Amendment forbids the federal government from making a law, such as the Defense of Marriage Act, that takes away a traditionally state function like defining marriage. So when it comes to a federal law that they don't like, they'll say it's a state issue. And then in the separate states where you have constitutional bans on homosexuality, they will argue that federal laws like the 14th Amendment is the reason why you should strike down those state laws. So, you know, again, just morally bankrupt, completely devoid of any decency in their arguments, in their lifestyle. But as I said, as a truly decent people, you don't have to go out and act like they do. You know, have you ever seen how our opponents go out and present their case just evil and mean-spirited because they are evil and mean-spirited people, in essence? You know, we don't do that. I wouldn't encourage you to do that. And that's the difference between accepting it. It's not a go-along-to-get-along proposition. But be kind to anyone. Be kind to everyone you meet and you pass in the street, but that doesn't mean that you can't tell the truth in love and in no uncertain terms let them know that you oppose such behavior. Anyway, I got to move on. Okay. By the way, just one follow-up to this. This is a separate story, but I guess the Kinks were onto something with their song Lola back in the 60s. Boys will be girls and girls will be boys. They had no idea. And we've seen stories like this before. Male student named Prom Queen at some school in Connecticut. A 17-year-old boy has been named Prom Queen at his high school. He says he's making a point about gender labeling and discrimination, you know, psychobabble nonsense. Nasir Fleming won the Danbury High School title last week. He was nominated Prom King and Prom Queen, but decided to be considered only for Prom Queen. Tells the local newspaper that he's been practicing gay since sixth grade. I don't know exactly what that means. He says he decided to run for prom queen because it was a good opportunity to make a point about the importance of being who you are. Being who you are, so you can be a boy and be a prom queen if that's who you are. But again, try being proud of being a white, southern, heterosexual Christian male. You know, try to get, you know, this news story talked about how the student body erupted in cheers when this homosexual 17-year-old male was elected prom queen. Try getting a puff piece written about you if you say, you know what, everybody should be proud of who they are, and I'm proud to be a white, heterosexual, able-bodied male. See how far that gets you. It would just never happen. And again, all of this goes back to what we were talking about in the first hour and how the media has just completely gone into the tank. Again, it's no longer about objective reporting. It's all about cheerleading for political correctness. Oh, by the way, I want to say a quick hello to Roger. Roger is a listener of the Political Cesspool who's tuning in tonight from Scotland. Now, Roger actually lives in the northeastern United States, and he sent in a couple of emails to the show in recent weeks. He's on vacation with his family tonight as well, but he's doing it from Scotland in Ireland, the two places they'll be visiting on their trip. When I go on vacation, I go to Orlando or Nashville. Roger showed me how it's done tonight, listening to the Political Cesspool from Scotland, the ancestral home of my maternal grandparents, the McGregors. God bless you, Roger, and thanks for tuning in all the way over there from some of the mother countries. NBA finals are in full swing, as you know, folks. It looks like, maybe you don't know. If you spend your time sometimes better than me, maybe you don't know. But, you know, I do watch movies, modern movies. I have a brain that works, that has a filter on it that's mighty good. I can reflect what I see in movies that I don't appreciate and still watch the rest. I watch sports. I know it's overwhelmingly black, but, you know, it's entertainment. And I watch sports. I don't get invested in it like these, fans that you put the wins and losses of their teams at a premium and perhaps above things that are actually important. But, you know, entertainment, movies, sports, they are an escape. And it is important that we escape from time to time from the rigors of daily life, from the grind, have a moment of departure, but keep it in perspective and keep it relative. But yeah, you know, I'll tune into a basketball game from time to time and just watch it because I play basketball and I enjoy the sport for what it is. I don't enjoy the agenda that modern day basketball has and the politics behind it, but nevertheless, I can watch it and it doesn't subvert me in any way, shape, or form. But the NBA Finals, it looks like the San Antonio Spurs are about to dethrone LeBron James in the Heat, and it made me think about this situation with Donald Sterling again. But first, I want to revisit very briefly a story that I brought up also in passing last week. We all know that the NBA is forcing Donald Sterling, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, they're forcing him to sell his franchise because he said something that offended a few chronic black malcontents. Of course, these people can find fault or racism in absolutely everything, so offending them isn't very hard to do. But Donald Sterling, keep in mind, committed absolutely no crime whatsoever. Meanwhile, the folks that play on these teams are up to their usual criminal behavior. And this is just the most recent example, folks, that has come down the pipeline. And it barely makes a blip in the local news. And I probably wouldn't have even known about this if I didn't live in Memphis. But one of the Memphis Grizzlies players, as I mentioned to you last week, was arrested for beating his wife while she held the infant child. He was hit her in the face and choked her, pushed a hole in the bathroom door where she was holding the child. She had to flee from the scene. This guy, this criminal behavior of minority players in the NBA is such a common occurrence that it barely even registers as a blurb. But this guy's not going to be fined by the league, like Donald Sterling was, fined millions of dollars, suspended for life, banned for life, and forced to sell his team. This guy, this player that did that, he's not going to receive any punishment because, you know what, this actually is a good thing for him. gives him some street cred. He's a thug. He's part of that thug culture that, you know, the modern-day NBA champion. And compare that to Stanley. And all of the repercussions that are falling on his head, and he committed no crime. Something is backwards here. And I love that the NBA said that neurologist found Donald Sterling mentally incompetent based upon what he said. What did he say? They want his girlfriends hanging all over other men in public? I mean, my God. But, and he said he loved blacks. You know, he didn't say the N-word, didn't say anything. But even if he had, you had the right in this country to be crude, don't you? I wouldn't, you know, I don't approve of rude language, but he didn't even say it. Sam Hartman just didn't want to hang it all over him in public. Mentally incompetent, forced to sell the team. This criminal culture of the NBA, and it's not just the NBA, but the NFL as well. No punishment. I love that what Donald Sterling is doing now. He's going tit for tat. He has invested millions of dollars into private investigators who are going to be digging into the backgrounds of every other NBA owner and the NBA commissioner and other administrators. And he's going to get dirt on them and bring that to light. Now, I can't wait to find out what the discovery in this loss is going to look like. And it suits these hypocrites well. But the big argument they made in this whole Donald Sterling thing on the onset was that it was going to damage the NBA. Cause an irreparable harm. Which was just a lie. The NBA was never in peril. Ratings are at an all-time high. All of these playoff games still sold out. All the white people, and make no mistake about it, it's white people that buy tickets to go to these games. You look at any NBA stand in any NBA city, it's almost all white. All of them kept going. It wasn't a big deal, but the NBA felt as though it had to. That's the thing, the political correctness. I think it's a come up with Donald Trump's investigation. We'll be back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards here with you. And just like that story about the Memphis Grizzly basketball player that you undoubtedly heard nowhere else but here on the political cesspool, unless you live in Memphis and happen to catch the one single local news broadcast that talked about this case. And again, compare that to Donald Sterling. Which one is a more serious offense? Saying something in a moment of discontent to your girlfriend during an illegally recorded conversation, is that a bigger offense? Is that one worthy of a lifetime ban, or is beating and choking the mother of your infant child as she holds that kid, which one is a more serious offense? Well, obviously the one where you offended black people, Donald Sterling, you know it. Well, another story like that, actually this story is much, much worse. You haven't heard about it anywhere else but here. A carload of black youth, the report just called them teenagers, they screamed racial slurs before shooting in the abdomen a random white pedestrian. Now, let me just read that again so it can sink in the severity of this story. A carload of blacks were screaming racial slurs before shooting a random white pedestrian. I didn't even know this guy. Right now, the story reads, says he was walking in his neighborhood late at night when black males yelled racial slurs at him and shot him in the stomach. This story, again, was a tiny blip in the local media, with most media outlets censoring everything about it. But there was one small newspaper in Evansville, Indiana, that reported on it. They didn't report much, but this is what you get. Evansville police are investigating an early morning shooting on Friday that left one person injured. Authorities identified the injured man as 39-year-old Burt Bender. Bender was shot once in the abdomen. He's expected to survive, according to an Evansville Police Department news release. The incident happened at about 1:45 a.m. on Friday near the intersection of Adams and Kentucky Avenues. Bender told investigators he was walking home when a group of black men in a red Pontiac car approached him. Bender, who is white, told police that the men in the car yelled several racial slurs at him before one of them shot him, according to the department news release. Evansville Police Department Sergeant Jason Cullum, said the police office didn't think Bender knew any of the men in the car that approached him. Okay. It goes without saying that if the races in this little story had been reversed, this would be the biggest news story in the world, and it would remain the biggest news story in the world for months and months and months. It barely makes the local paper of this medium-sized city in which it occurred. Compare that, if you will, to the whole Trayvon Martin incident. The media is so filled and fueled by their hatred of white people. They would give anything if whites actually behaved like blacks and committed crimes based on the color of someone's skin and approached random black people and called them the N-word before shooting them for no good reason. But you see, these stories don't actually occur in real life. And when they do occur, it's always in the inverse manner. The media is so desperate to find a situation in which whites would do this to a black that they cast George Zimmerman, obviously a Hispanic fellow, among other things, as a white person, as a typical blonde-haired, blue-eyed ne'er-do-well. George Zimmerman was white. They kept telling us he was white. I mean, who are you going to believe, him or your lying eyes? But in a case of true racial hatred, and folks, there's nothing unusual about this story. What's so sad happens all the time. It happens so much, Colin Flaherty can't even keep up with them. It's an everyday thing. And nothing, absolutely nothing. Not news to you, of course, if you're a regular listener of the Political Cesspool, but it's good from time to time just to go back and let you know that this is still occurring, and the silence is deafening from the mainstream media. No self-righteous pompous, in the can for this victim. You know, this legitimate victim, this guy didn't even start trying to beat these guys to death with his fist like Trayvon Martin did before he got shot. He was just walking. Well, there you have it. That's what passes for reporting in this godforsaken country. Except for here on the Liberty News Radio Network. Can goats save Detroit? Peter Skip-Stanton brought this up last week. I dug a little deeper into it after he brought it to my attention on this show. I actually get educated on this show along with everyone else, I guess. Will goats save Detroit? Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say it's going to take a hell of a lot more than goats to fix what's wrong with Detroit. But look at what's going on here. Mark Spitznagel, he's the founder of a $6 billion hedge fund, Universa Investments, last week brought 20 goats to graze among abandoned homes in one of Detroit's most blighted neighborhoods. It's an urban farming experiment, he said, and he plans to leave these goats to roam and munch on the overgrown grass. Goats are an effective way to do landscaping, he said. He's going to bring 60 more goats into Detroit this summer, and he's going to enlist the help of the local community, and this is where this story will end, because you'll never hear a follow-up from this story, because it ain't going to have a happy ending. He's going to enlist the help of the local community, paying previously unemployed adults, which they're not going to be hard to find in Detroit, let me tell you that, and enlisting the help of local youth, we know what that means, to herd these goats. So here you have this billionaire, and he's doing his good deed in the ghetto so he can feel morally superior. He's bringing in a few dozen goats, and he's going to let them roam free in Detroit to eat some of that grass that the residents won't get off their lazy backsides and cut for themselves. And he's going to let the bums of Detroit, the unemployed, and I guess the local street gangs are going to shepherd these goats. And you know, they're going to eat the city back into good standing if they're allowed to stay. See, the city jumped right on this. A spokesperson for the mayor of Detroit said that there's ordinance against animals grazing on public property. Now, that would be the one law in Detroit that I would really use the full weight and power of the mayor's office to enforce, because obviously there's nothing in Detroit going on more serious than goats grazing in the urban jungle. But I do hope that the government can remove the goats before they get robbed, murdered, or eaten by their new neighbors. Yeah, I mean, what a joke. White guilt, first of all. You got $6 billion, and you're going to let 60 goats loose in Detroit? You know, wanting to get his name in the paper, I guess. But you know, these goats are probably already dead. I don't even know what to say about it. It's the political cesspool. What can I say? But yeah, David Braun. Now, that was an interesting story that Scoop brought up this week during the first hour. For one of the biggest upsets in political history, certainly within recent memory, on Tuesday when he defeated House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in a Republican primary to represent Virginia's 7th District. This guy is portrayed as a Tea Party candidate. Now, I don't know anything about David Brett other than he beat Cantor. Peter Brimelow, who runs VDare, vouched for him, so that means a lot to me. It means that he's good on immigration, or at least pretends to be. He doesn't have a record yet. This is his first run for office. But at least he's saying the right things about immigration. And he couldn't be any worse than Cantor on the subject, so you know, we'll give him a chance, right? What I love about him, though, is he teaches ethics at this small college. He's sort of libertarian. He's, you know, gives lectures on Ayn Rand, and he's okay, right? He certainly pointed out that Eric Cantor was not a conservative at all, which is the truth. An anti-establishment guy, he raised $206,000 and beat the Speaker of the House, the Republican leader, on a $200,000 campaign budget versus that of Cantor at $5.5 million. He successfully passed Cantor as a pro-amnesty candidate, which he was. He's a Christian, or at least claims that Christianity is an important part of our history and is the driving force and should remain so. So we're seeing. He ran a campaign against Washington. Let's give him a chance. Doesn't Brad beat him against Cantor? Huge upset. Good news. We'll be back with more.
Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. Before I bring Eddie the Bombardier Miller, my co-host and brother-in-arms, onto the broadcast, I want to quickly wrap up what I was talking about in the last segment. This David Bratt, this professor who beat Eric Cantor, just reading a couple of quotes that my notes here. A vote for Eric Cantor is a vote for open borders. A vote for Eric Cantor is a vote for amnesty. If your neighbor votes for Eric Cantor, they're voting for amnesty, and they know it. So, you know, that's good stuff. He also said that he ran his campaign to fix the economy, restore the constitutional system of checks and balances, and to end this game of crony capitalism by the ruling class in Washington. Now, will he get up there and whore himself out like just about every other one of them does? It remains to be seen. Odds are likely that that will happen, but as of right now, it's okay. It's okay to be have a little bit of tempered excitement about the end of the political career of Eric Cantor and the rise of David Bratt in the home state of Robert E. Lee, Virginia. Well, folks, it's Father's Day weekend, and I'm reflecting as I prepare to become a father for the second time. My wife and I have been busy preparing for the arrival of our son in November, and I was looking towards the future with a degree of concern. In 2040, the year 2040, when whites are officially projected to become a minority in the very country that our ancestors carved from the wilderness, my children will still be very young. My daughter will be 30 years old in 2040. My son will be 26. And I don't know if I like the way this country will be inherited by them. You know, I want them to live in a country that was as free as the country my grandfather lived in. I want them to live in a country where they can be proud of who they are, because I'm fairly certain by the time whites become a minority, the day whites become a minority will be the day that becoming a minority is no longer fashionable. And all of these goodies and handouts and sexiness of being a minority will cease to exist. I want my children to live in an America where they can be Christians, where they can be Southerners. They don't have to keep their head down or hide that under a bushel. I want them to live in a country where they can think and speak freely about things, where they will love and respect everyone, but love no one more than their own family. Because what is love if not loving your own family a little bit more than other people? As we say so many times on this show, I want them to live in that kind of an America. And I don't think that is the America that they will see. And that is why I fight, folks, every day, every week on this show to offer up an alternative to what passes for mainstream media. Here we are, nationally syndicated on the AM airwaves. You know how popular we are. And the reason that we are popular is because we're unique, but we're a little too unique to get commercial sponsorships. And, folks, we need your help. We're all family men here, and on Father's Day weekend, that's something that is as meaningful as it ever will be. We need your help to stay on the air. Our second quarter fundraising drive has gotten off to an okay start, but we're still a long way from reaching the goal. 10% of everything we bring in this month is going to go back to the network. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who have already contributed this month. But if you haven't, I would ask you to do so tonight. Do it tonight and help keep this show on the air. We can't do it without you. Everything helps, $25, $50, $100 or more, you're going to qualify for our great incentives, which are listed at our website. But give what you can, folks, and take pride in the fact that you are supporting a show that stands up for the dispossessed majority without retreat, surrender, or apology. You can donate tonight online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, safely, securely. Guarantee that the political cesspool continues on. You have the power to do it, you and you alone. I wish I was a man of wealth. You know, I have all the riches that one man can claim. I'm loved by my family. I have great parents, a brother, my wife, my daughter. I couldn't ask for anything more. I don't have a lot of money. If I had money, I would never ask you for any, folks. That's the honest to God's truth. I would never ask you for anything. I wouldn't take it if you tried to give it. If I had the money to self-sustain the show, I would do it. I work hard to provide for my family. There's just not enough left over for me to fund the show out of pocket. So I need your help. You know why. It's a show worthy of support. And with that being said, I welcome Eddie the Bombardier Miller, also a father of a couple of girls. Keith Alexander has three sons. Bill Rowland, God bless him, has two children. Bill looking down over them from heaven tonight. We're all family men here in the political cesspool. Our families come first. Our cause is right there, not far behind. Which is why we're here every night fighting the good fight. Eddie, happy Father's Day, brother.
Happy Father's Day to you too, son. Listen,
you know, you've got a girl already. I have two. And there's a little saying in the South. I think some people may call it a cliche. It goes something like this. As you know, I've got two girls. I've got one granddaughter, one grandson, and I love them all. But the cliche, the saying goes, a son is a son until he takes a wife, but a daughter is a daughter for the rest of her life. I've got one daughter especially who, that's true. She spoils me rotten, James. She takes me anywhere I want to go. Not that I'm an invalid. I mean, I can call her up at any time. She's a workaholic. She works 7 days a week. I'll get lonesome. I want to run the streets. And she drops what she's doing. And she's just wonderful. She does more for me in 1 week than, you know, a lot of people have done for me a year. My grandson, I idolize him. But, James, you know what? I think you're already living in the past with your summation there that you gave about what's coming forth, the future of your children and my children. Those days no longer exist. Those days existed. Now, I'm 67 years old, as a lot of people probably know, and I can remember the day that existed when you could go out and you could speak freely. You could speak in school. We had segregated schools, in which I'm fully 100% for. You know, I wouldn't want to force white people in on black people who like to be segregated amongst themselves. That's proven in every single case. That's proven to be the fact. Same way, if white people have given their druthers, they'd rather be with each other. But you know, you can't speak in school. You can't even say the prayer in school anymore. You can't say anything that resembles pro-white. You know, James, you can't even draw a picture of a gun. You can't.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, my dad, in the bad old days of segregation, and I agree with you in what you say. It should be a state's issue. You know, if the people of the state, black and white, want that, not just a few malcontents, and let the states decide on that. But my dad was telling me, and going to those schools, you can take guns to school, and it wasn't a big deal. You can take guns in for show and tell, and, you know, no one got shot.
I used to rabbit hunt. And this is as late as 1966 with the principal of our school. And, the high school was Westwood High School here in Memphis, Tennessee. And we would have our guns out in the truck. And after school, I had a pack of beagles that the best beagles you've ever seen. And he knew it. And he was our football coach. He later became the principal. Well, we hunted, after school. And that was just common. No one even thought anything about it. But, you know, you can't say anything. My God, you can't say anything pro-white at all. And, you know, me and James are talking today before the show, and we're going to – I hope we can have the opportunity to do YouTube next week. And I'll just give them a little taste of what's coming, James. But you mentioned, you know, in 2040 we'll become a minority. I'm not so sure that we're not a minority now, James, because, as you know, we talked about today, there's just hordes and hordes of aliens coming in here. And the government can't keep track of them. They move around. They can move. Listen, they can load up and move a whole cove of people, cars, trailers, you name it, in a matter of an hour. It'd be like they never existed except for the trash that he's behind.
But baby, before you go on with that, I want to tell the audience that there is a YouTube video that will be coming to thepoliticalcesspool.org starring Eddie Miller talking about this exact subject. And I apologize to you, Pappy. And then I was so long-winded, I started feeling the spirit, so to speak, and I got in a little bit too deep in the opening monologue of this segment. I know you have a very big guest who's coming up. Inspector Jim Rothstein is going to be with you the entire third hour, folks. It's going to be a dynamite hour. Eddie's going to be steering it while I go and spending time with my family during the last hour. Eddie's going to be at the helm of the show, and Eddie's going to bring Rothstein on to talk about some very serious subject matter. Don't miss the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast with Eddie at the helm. Before we get to that, I want to play a quick song to take us out of this break. I want to dedicate it to my dad. It makes me think of my childhood. I was loved by my father. I love my father. He's going to be up here in Nashville with me tomorrow. I can remember going on vacations when I was just barely old enough to sit on his lap, and he would let me drive. And there's a song where I thought I was driving. He let me sit in his lap while we were going on vacation, and we're going to be celebrating tomorrow, Father's Day, together. There's a song by Alan Jackson that makes me think of that childhood. I want to dedicate it to my dad tonight on Father's Day. I'll let you listen to it before we go to the break, folks, and then Eddie's going to take over for the rest of the show. Stay tuned.
There's
painted red. The stripe was white, it was 18 feet from the bow to the stern light. Second hand from a dealer in Atlanta, I rode up with Daddy when he went there to get her. Put on a shine, put on a motor, built out of love, made for water. Ran her for years till her transom got rotten. The piece of my childhood will never be forgotten. It was just an old plywood boat, the 75 Johnson electric choker. A young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel. And I would turn her sharp and I'd make it wide. He'd say, can't beat the way an old wood boat rides. Just a little lake across the Alabama line.